Welcome, everybody. We're about to begin Be'ezes Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir, number 584. In the last shir, lesson 8, about embracing differences, we mentioned the words of the stipler. Listen to the end of last shir. Very emphatically, said it 10 times, shook the author up, but basically that he said that you must know that any couple that stood under the chuppah as a chazakah, that it was for their best, even in this world, and if it doesn't seem like that's the case, to look again. Again, we always make that disclaimer. The Torah allows get. Obviously, there are situations where it's necessary, and that's why anyone who's listening who is divorced and knows that that's the situation, and very often, unfortunately, there's a lot of unhealthiness on one side or a real abuse where get is necessary, and it has to be that way. But we're talking about 95% of the cases where it could be worked through. And in that case is that it is true. There's a chazakah that even in this world you could see it's for the best. And if it doesn't seem clear to you, to look again and to look again. Based on this lesson of the stipler, he said that about a week after that lesson, a unique couple came to Rabbi Shechadowitz for help. It was a fascinating couple. The husband looked with Payas, Strimal, Hasidic Yerushalmi family. The wife next to him, English woman, raised with the classic British mentality. So he first, before even hearing, he saw the two together. He said, how could they connect with one another? You know, what? It's so different. Their outside appearance even looked totally different from one another. She didn't look like a Hasidic wife. She looked like an English woman. You know, so what was that? So the husband explained that he didn't intend to marry the Queen of England, who had no concept of how a Jewish home is supposed to look like. And he has no intention to live with someone whose traditions all come from the nations of the world, and it's treif. He started out talking like that. The wife looks very English-British. She said, I can't bear the suffering of watching him eat with his hands, putting his feet on the table. It's not civilized. How can I live with such a person that acts like a barbarian? So that's the way they started out. They both claimed they have a right to sue the Shadchan for doing this to them. They both agreed it's not possible to continue like this. But again, Rav Shechadowitz heard the words of the stipler just a week ago, ringing in his ears, yelling after 10 times till his body shook, trembling at the stipler's words, that if it doesn't seem the case, in other words, that it's a chazokah, that it's for the best even in this world, look again. He was screaming on top of his lungs, look again. So that left a reishim on him. And he thought again, you know, they're intelligent people. The shatran was able to fool the both of them. There's more to this story. So Rosh Chodesh turned to the wife. Asked the wife if she was ever in Eretz Yisrael before her marriage. Or did she come directly from England before her marriage? So the wife, the British wife, the English wife, said, yeah, she was in seminary for 3 years in Eretz Yisrael. She lived in the home of her husband's cousin. And I asked her, Rosh Chodesh said, I asked her to describe her experience in their home. And she said it was amazing. It was 8 generations of a family who lived in Yerushalayim, along with an elderly grandfather, a unique individual, full of chachma, who was her dream to build such a home. So Shechadot had one question for her. Did some of the people in that home also eat with their hands? And she nodded affirmative with a small tear resting in the corner of her eyes. Then he turned, Rosh Chodesh, to the husband. And he basically asked, you know, were there no Yerushalmi girls left in Me'ah Sha'arim? He was hinting, like, why did you marry a British girl? So he understood the question, the husband, and the Hasidish Yerushalmi said, he explained, Me'ah Sha'arim had the most holiest and modest young women in the world. But who says that everyone needs to be so closed off from the rest of the world? I wanted a wife whose nose didn't end at the end of her street. I wanted someone who had a broader perspective towards the rest of the world. And when I told my uncle that that's what I was looking for, he suggested that perhaps this Queen of England would be a perfect match. So he called them both in together, and he told them there was no mistake here. You each received exactly what you wanted. She told him, she wanted a chassid from Me'ah Sha'arim. She was 3 years in seminary in that environment, in that area. That's what she wanted. And he wanted a more worldly person. That's exactly what she wanted. He wanted a modest young woman with a broader perspective and outlook on the world. So there was no mistake. What was their mistake, though? The chapter that we're talking about now. What was the mistake? What was the mistake? The problem of not learning to embrace differences. Their mistake was that she, the English woman, thought that through Sheva Brachas, she will teach him every detail of English mannerism, how to eat with the fork and the knife just so. And he thought that she would be making Yerushalmi Kugel the first Shabbos already. But the problem is, again, people don't get married on condition that they fix all of their spouse's differences. Marriage requires one to accept his or her spouse exactly the way they are. So what's the end of this story? Several weeks later, after the couple came to him, the wife's father passed away, and they lived in England for a year and a half. They returned to Eretz Yisrael. Shchadowitz stopped by for a visit to see how they're doing. The husband came in and welcomed him, sat him down, honored him with a tea, a golden spoon, a sugar cube, straight out of the storybooks, the English way. And when I asked him, what happened to him? He said with a big smile, I got just what I wanted. They adapted, basically. They adapted. She probably adapted to his more Hasidic style to some extent, and he accepted that English mannerism. See, so this is this danger, before we get to the next chapter, which we're going to start now, this is the danger of confusing differences and deficiencies. What we described here are not deficiencies. These are not bad midos. Or unless you say eating with the hands is bad midos, we're going to get to that a different time. But it's not. They confuse differences with deficiencies. At the beginning of their relationship in this couple, they perceived the differences as defects. I got to uproot it. I got to remove it. He eats with his hands. Oh, all her customs come from the goyim. In truth, everything they complained about was not objective lax. They were mistakenly identifying it such because it was very far from the way they were brought up. That's all. Each quality was a bigger picture of what each of them desired, which they admitted themselves. And that's the idea. So that is about embracing differences. Now we're going to shift to the second chapter of it, which is accepting lacks, which means real character flaws. So it's no secret that every newly married couple did not achieve perfection in midos. It could be even decades later, you didn't fully achieve it. You're working towards a goal. Everyone has chesreinos, real inherent character flaws. The Vilna Gaon in Mishlei, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, I don't have the Gra's words in Hebrew in front of me right now, but he explains that we all came to the world to fix our midos. That's our purpose in life. So this Chassan and Kala think that their Basharta has no deficiencies, they're living in a dreamland, Alice in Wonderland, fantasy world, that will be destroyed and crushed as soon as they get married. That's not the case. Everyone has chesreinos that they still have to work through. Picture perfect newlyweds. Both are well known for their great midas taivais. People praise them. Their dream comes true, straight men hashamayim. And within the first month, the new wife is in a state of panic. The dream crumbles before her eyes. Her husband's a fine person, a caring person, but he has a midah of kas. He has some anger in him. Again, we're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about physical abuse, emotional abuse. We're talking about a normal case of kas, which is not a good thing. It has to be worked on. But it's not the end of the world. It could be worked on and controlled and worked through. And people work through it all their lives, different midas. So he is a caring person, but sometimes gets into bursts of anger, sometimes not in full control. So she's in a panic. She calls her Rebbetzin with tears in her eyes. What should I do? Now the Rebbetzin makes a mistake. Tells her, no, don't panic, I have a solution. Just increase your chesed. And he'll stop getting angry at her. Big mistake to say that, by the way. Again, there's nothing wrong with chesed. But that doesn't cover up the anger problem that has to be worked through, and learning how to work through it, accept it, navigate it, and so on. But it worked for 2 weeks. She did her extra chesed, and he didn't get angry. She feels she solved the problem. And then something unexpected occurs, and the husband again gets a flare-up. He gets into a rage. Now the wife is broken. Dreams are crushed. She married a husband that has an anger problem? Unacceptable. As time passes, the husband is clueless because the wife didn't express this to her, to him. She sees that his wife isn't herself. Asks her what's bothering her. She avoids the issue. She says, no, I'm not feeling well. Doesn't say that I got upset by the fact that you expressed anger this way, which would be the healthy thing. Instead, she says, I'm not feeling well. I'm tired. Another excuse. Finally, she can't hold the truth any longer. She breaks down and says, I can't live a man. You get angry. It scares me. It's like, I learned in seminary, it's kilu oivet avei dezara, you're serving other idols. I can't live a person that is an idol worshiper. You get angry. Poor husband. He can't deny it. He knows he sometimes gets upset. He knows the truth of her words. He could sometimes get angry. He realizes his anger is in, his marriage is in great danger. He begs his wife. He's in pain and pressure. Don't worry. I will not lose my temper ever again. And he works on himself. For 2 weeks, everything's beautiful again. Suddenly, something comes up. He gets upset again, expresses anger. Now the wife has two problems in her brain. She married a lawyer who has an anger problem. She comes to this unavoidable conclusion that her husband looks like a nice person on the surface, but these big problems show that inside he's really, really, really rotten. And then their shalom bayis deteriorates. By the way, it's not true. Everyone has chesrinos, this normal range of chesrinos, whether anger or taivus or self-centeredness, whatever it is, everyone has chesrinos that they need to fix and work through their life, but they're inherently a good person. Again, we're not talking about the severe abuse cases, the 5% that we sometimes talk about. These are normal character flaws we're talking about now. So all of a sudden you discover a previously unidentified deficiency. So the natural reaction is, of course, to feel feelings of anger and frustration and feeling deceived. But they never really achieve true shalom bayis. So there's many different ways to approach this concept when these chesrinos, these character flaws, come about. And we're going to talk about it, Be'ez Hashem, in the next share. But to conclude this share, to explain to everyone here, when you marry people 95% of the time, you're dealing with decent, good people that are flawed. You're not dealing with a pathology. There are, and I studied it, I came across it, I know what it is. Again, I'm not an expert or anything of that sort, but there are people that act and behave in a sociopath way, in a psychopath way. Narcissist. Everyone is a narcissist, by the way. Everyone has self-centeredness. Everyone sometimes has that ego, me, me, me. Everyone has narcissism in them. But 95% of the people that have narcissism in them, self-centeredness is a normal range of it, coming from normal chesrinos, normal me, they have to work on through the course of their life. Sometimes coming across as anger, depression, anxiety, indifference, laziness, whatever bad media you want to talk about that comes in a combination of different factors, all comes from that general, normal bad media, not a pathology. So everyone has a certain level of narcissism in them that they have to work on. But then there's 5%, 4% of people who have actually have it as a pathology, as a syndrome, that is really a dangerous thing, or physical abusers, mental abusers, sexual abusers, through whatever you want to say. You can be done the kaf schus, but in those situations, you can't let the victim of it just sit by and do nothing. They have to take action. They have to leave the relationship. Then the marriage, you know, you can work on it, but you need outside help in a real, real way. It's more complicated. We're acknowledging that. We always acknowledge that. We should, and Mitzvah Hashem will have separate shiurim on those type of cases. We should. That's a real narcissistic disorder. This narcissistic personality disorder. When that happens, it's a different story. But we're talking here about, in this chapter, so listen carefully, about regular midas. Yes, the husband blows up, but then he calms down. But overall, he provides. Overall, he is caring, but he needs to work on that midah. I'm not making excuses for it, but it's a normal midah. Or other types of negative midas. This is something that is extremely, extremely common. And we hit the panic button when we see that flaw that we didn't see before. And we need to work on it. And we're going to talk about different ways how to handle these lacks of negative midas and how to overcome it. Bracha v'atzlacha.